Hey guys. So I'm gonna do this podcast while I'm getting ready. I thought it might be easier because sometimes I'm better talking when I'm doing something. And what better way to do it when I'm getting my therapy, aka makeup? My good friend Sarah always says makeup is therapy. And it just makes me feel relaxed. It's actually a good way to start my day. Because I'm snowed in, but I have a Zoom meeting soon. And I won't tell everybody what it's about yet. But it's really exciting. And, some of you might know, but yeah, I'm not ready to say it yet. So let's see. I have a few things I want to talk about. My last episode, although I was proud of it, I didn't get to say everything that I wanted to. Whether that was because it was too soon or I don't know. I do feel like I was almost like interrupted a little bit, and that's, you know, it is what it is. But in any case, I got the feedback that they wanted to like hear me talk more, because that situation had so many layers and so many feelings. I probably had too many feelings about it to do it at that point. And that's just never good. Well, it's not good sometimes. And I also don't want it to be like, you know, like bashing on another person, because that's not what I'm here to do and that's not my job. And it's also like doesn't solve anything. And, you know, facts are facts. And I can't change the facts and I can't change the truth. So it is what it is. But in any case, that whole, I don't want to call it a relationship. That whole event lasted too long. And I also protected the other person for too long in many ways. And that's also not my job. So I don't want to do that either. And I don't know. I guess I don't really know what else to say about it. Other than it was extremely, I hate the word to say abuse, but it was pretty abusive. You know, in some cases it got physical. And mostly emotional. And something about me is that my, like, nature is to not, ironically, talk about it, while it's happening. That's kind of a thing with me. When things are really bad, whether it's, like, for a minute or for years, I don't talk about it. And then when it's all over and I have kind of time to like process, that I'm like, oh my God, the fuck was going on? and so in turn, my body will send me like alerts. And as my holistic doctor says, he's like, I think you're just really allergic to bullshit more than anything. And so when that relationship ended, you know, I had a rash on my body, specifically underneath my eyes, and around my eyes, all over my hands, that didn't go away for 2 years. And I went to doctors and I tried every single cream in the world. I work at a medi spa, and so I had access to a lot of, knowledge and products and all the things, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And then, you know, right after we broke up, my rash went away. And I was like, that's interesting. And also at the same time, like, I have really bad allergies. And, like, to everything. Like, to the grass and trees and dogs and just the air. And so that also has gone down. I made a very good friend with the dog. He's hyperallergenic, but even with hyperallergenic dogs during that period would affect me. And so we snuggled and cuddled and totally fine. I don't notice any like air allergies. I just feel like my like brain and my whole body is just like clear. I also lost 40 pounds and, you know, just, it's crazy how your body like tells you that you're just not like in the right spot. And yeah, I have never been so clear in my whole life. I was trying to think of like the last time that I was like this happy, which is crazy for me to say, because I've, my whole life has been like kind of on the miserable side. And I think around 2010, maybe, like I was in beauty school. I was like doing my thing. I was like so excited for the future. And I think it was before me and my ex broke up. But it was actually when he was gone, because he left to go to the army and I went to beauty school. And so we were both like on this like good path after just like doing drugs all the time. And, so I had a purpose. I got up every day at like 5 o'clock to be in traffic, to go to school and to come home, barely have time to eat. And I was so happy. And knowing that he like loved me, but that he wasn't like up my ass all the time, was kind of this perfect, like, just perfect balance at the time. When I was like so scared of not being with him every day, and, you know, I'm a pretty like codependent person, but I actually did really well and I really missed him, but it was like, I had that time to be by myself. Like physically, and just do me. And I actually do, like, I am a relationship gal, because I'm pretty fucking loyal, like, to a fault, although I've had my moments, being a young young person. But I actually have done the best things in my life while I've been single. And, you know, I think people don't give girls enough credit, because when we are single, we are like, we're just like fucking badasses. And guys kind of like, you know, I'm not going to make this like a man-hating thing, because that's also not what it's about, because men, I love men. You know, when they're like, when they're dope, they're really cool. And when they give us space to be who we are, it's just a magical thing. But if they can't do things on their own, and don't know how to take care of themselves, you know, emotionally, financially, whatever, we have to use our energy to like hold them up, and it's a lot. And my body's response to that was to, you know, break out in hives and gain a bunch of weight. And sorry, I'm doing my eyeliner. So I don't know. And then I thought, you know, what would I, then it just got me on this whole thing, because I was like thinking about all my exes. And I have like, I want to say like 5 major ones. One, I'm not even going to use in this, topic, because we, broke up. I have nothing bad to say about him. He just wasn't mine. And, you know, he's happy, he's married, he's got like a kid now. And, I honestly like don't really think about him, as one of my exes, just because I wasn't emotionally, or physically in love with him. And that's my bad for not breaking up with him. So we're not going to use him. But the other ones, I have some pretty amazing ex-boyfriends. Shout out to you guys. You know who you are. One I actually spent Christmas with. And, oh my God. I mean, we've just been, we dated when I was like 19, 20. And we're still friends. And, although we've like, you know, had ups and downs and like gone periods without talking, I still like at the end of the day feel like I could call him and he would like come help me or like whatever. And so the fact that he like invited me to his family's house is like so fucking tender. Oh my God. I like honestly like left and cried on my way home, 'cause it was so sweet. And I just like feel such a connection to them. And I think we can like both say that we were like such an important part in each other's like life. Even though it had like some bad moments. I mean, we were like kids and, you know, all the things that come with that, because he was that was a really hard breakup for me. Because I did feel at 19 years old or 20 years old that he was like the man I was going to marry. But, now we're just like the best of friends and it's so fucking cute. And, I fell in love with his dog. And, I just actually, it was like the first time that I like went to someone's house in a long time that, like, I didn't want to leave. Like, I felt so good there. And I actually felt, like, so welcome. I felt like I was part of the family. Like, it was just so sweet. And, yeah, he's, like, just a great support, and I love him. And then my other great ex-boyfriend, so both of these people are married and have, like, well, one has a kid, but, and so it's crazy to think that, like, we're all still friends, and, you know, that means that it was, like, real. There was something, I think we just all had, like, this respect for each other, I think, and that's really cool. And so, yeah, the other one is such a great support. We text a lot. And yeah, I just, they're just, like, I'm so lucky to have such great ex-boyfriends in my life, and you know, it's a rare thing. And then I have some ex-boyfriends that I don't necessarily, understand, like, what happened? Like, what was going on in my brain? Like, was I okay? I mean, one, I was, like, really, really young, right? I was, like, I think about it now, and it's, like, you know, when girls talk about, like, the guy that they, like, loved, when they were, like, their first love or whatever. I mean, some of them work out, right? But, some of them, it's just, like, well, he just called me pretty. Like, he was the first guy that was, like, oh, you're hot. And I thought that was love, which is, like, completely, oh, God, it makes me, like, cringe. And I think about, you know, if I ended up with any of them, even the ones that I still, like, am friends with, I don't think I would have been, like, happy. Like, I mean, I might have been, like, kind of happy, I guess, but I think my life would have taken, like, a really different turn. And I would have settled, and I would have not, like, followed my dreams. I would have catered to what they wanted, which I think we should, like, all be supporting our partner's dreams. Like, that's not the issue. But I just don't think I would be, I don't think I would have, like, reached my potential, which I won't give up, like, for anyone. And I don't know if that's, like, a relationship problem with me, is that I give everything to these guys, who don't give anything back, or if I just, like, am better by myself. 'Cause, yeah, going back, you know, 2010 was the last time, and it was for, like, a short period of time, because me and my ex broke up, and I was, like, completely just, like, devastated. But this is the first time since then that I'm, like, God, fuck, I'm, like, so happy. Like, I have the best life I have built for myself, like, from the ground up. I have the coolest friends that are, like, just so fucking cool and supportive, and, like, oh, I just love my life. I love my clients. They're, you know, like, family. I'm just, you know, I'm like successful on my own. I can like afford this house that I like love being in my, like, I love being here by myself now. It's so nice. Like the only music I have to listen to is the music I want to listen to. That doesn't like rumble the walls. I don't have to like worry about anyone like affecting my mood with their alcoholism, and like it's just, it's such a healthy space. And I just love, I love my life. I like, I love waking up. I like seeing what the day is bringing for me. You know, all the blessings, all the abundance, all the things. You know, struggles don't like affect me in the same way. Also to point out, when I was with said person, my anxiety was like, it was just like crazy. Like, asked my friends and I was like, I almost felt like I couldn't leave the house because I was like, oh my God, is everything turned off? Like something bad is going to happen. Like I always felt like something bad was going to happen. And I don't get like that anymore. I'm just like, I'm just at so much peace, and it's, oh my God, it's like, I just can't share enough how happy I am. And, yeah, I will never let anyone do that to me again. That was like, I mean, thank God I'm like a strong person, because that was nuts. And yeah. Anyways. Woo. What else did I have to say about that? I don't even know. I mean, since then, I've definitely dated a lot. I kind of went on I think I said it on my last thing. I dated the second he left my house. Like, I was talking to people, the moment. And because I was just like ready to have a life, man. I was like, this is nuts. I am too good for this. Like, I have so much to offer. It's like crazy. And, you know, I met some really amazing guys. But just not mine. And, you know, I was disappointed in some of them. Again, not to say that they're bad. I'm just not like, I'm just too old for like, I don't know. And I don't know. I feel bad because I have been asked out, recently, and I honestly don't want to. It's like the first time that I'm like, I don't even know if I want to date. And I'm sure they're great, but, you know, if they were really that great, I don't know. It just, I don't know. I have too many things going on, honestly. I barely have time to see my friends, and, like, we have to, like, schedule out dates, like, months out, and so, it just wouldn't be fair to say that I can give time to someone when I just really can't. And I think knowing that is really important, because you don't want to, you know, say that you can give something and it's just, and then you're looked at as the bad person because you can't, you know, and I'm just not like, I'm not going to do that to somebody. So when life kind of calms down, then I can, you know, maybe put time into somebody. I don't know. I also don't want someone that I have to put time in, like, that much time into. Like, you should just be good on your own. And if you're not, you have no fucking business dating. And so, yeah, that's how I feel about that. Also, I don't even know if I mentioned, I honestly couldn't listen to that last episode, like, more than once, so I didn't go back to see, like, what I actually had said. But the week that me and, my ex broke up, so I actually found out he was cheating, I mean, he was cheating the whole time, but the last time that I found out he was cheating, was on a Sunday when, like, after I had gotten home from work, you know, worked all day, he's still drunk, and kicked him out, obviously, and the next day I had to go to jury duty. Now, as most of you know, I am, like, the biggest true crime junkie in the world. Like, I fall asleep to murder podcasts. When I was little, all I wanted to do was be a detective. Like, I just, like, fucking love it. And, you know, I was kind of, like, in an emotional place. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And everyone was like, don't worry, like, you're just gonna have to go for, like, a day. They'll probably won't even call your number, you know, whatever. And I had called the Friday before, and so I knew that I had to go, right? But they were like, oh, you're probably just, like, you know, your name won't get called. You'll probably just have to sit there for a while, and then you can go home. And so in my head, I was kind of planning, like, okay, I'm gonna have this lovely day. I'll drive down to Boulder. I'll go get myself some lunch. Like, I'll have just, like, an eat, pray, love moment, and it'll be fine. And I woke up, I had to be there at, like, 8, I think. And so my last memories at the Justice Center, were, like, going to one of my ex-boyfriend's, graduation, because he went to high school there. And so that, it's weird. Anyways, I walk in and there's, like, hundreds of people. And I was like, oh my God, this is so, like, I just want to be, like, home by myself right now and just cry. And, you know, I went through security, whatever, and I had to sit in this room with, like, I don't know, like, at least 100 people. There were two rooms that each probably had 100 to 150 people. And I was like, oh my God, like, there's no way I'm gonna be, you know, this is just, like, nuts. And we had to, like, watch this video, and, like, they're calling names and whatever. So there's actually three courtrooms that they were, like, dividing us into. And each set of three had also a set of 23 people, and then the rest of the people. But you didn't know, like, which line you were going into. Like, you didn't know if you were the 23 people, or if you were the alternate people, or which courtroom you were going into. And so my name got called. And, I mean, everyone's name was called at some point, but my name was called, and, so I'm walking in line, and, like, they put me, like, right in the, like, jury box. So I'm sitting in the jury box in, like, one of those big, like, leather chairs, and, there's, like, already people in there. So there's already, like, the prosecution, defendant, the, like, defendant's lawyer, the judge. So they're, like, all already there. So you're, like, walking into, like, you don't even know. So there's 23 of us sitting up there. And then the rest of the people were sitting in the benches. So they were all, like, alternates. So I'm already, like, essentially chosen. And so the next, like, I don't know, 2.5 hours was people saying, like, you know, oh, I know what this case is about, or I heard this in the news or whatever. All those people had to leave. So they would either, like, pick an alternate or, like, switch out people. So all that happened. And then hardships happened. So they were like, okay, this case is going to be this long. You know, I believe they told us the charges. I think they were like, so this is a second degree murder case. So they were like, does anyone have, like, issues with that, or, any hardships, like, places you have to be, and, like, all that stuff. And a lot of people wanted to get out of this, right? I mean, it is a week of your life, and, you know, everyone has fucking jobs. Like, I have a job. I'm self-employed. Like, I don't make money if I don't work. Some people tried to use that as a way out, and the judge was, like, not having it, which I kind of, I really liked this judge, actually. I thought he was, like, really fair. Like, one lady was like, oh, my husband's having heart surgery tomorrow. And after a while, like, he actually let her go. But for the most part, like, you being self-employed is not a hardship. You're not going to be on the streets if you don't work. Like, it's going to be okay. And so I kind of liked his attitude. Because if it was just people that, like, eagerly wanted to be there or had enough money to miss work, then you're not getting, like, a good set of people, right? You're getting, like, this very limited, like, privileged group. And so it's actually, like, to our benefits to, like, have people that are maybe a few paychecks away. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it makes it a better diverse group, in my opinion. So all that happened. So then they start, like, asking us questions. So prosecution has 45 minutes and then defense has 45 minutes. And this is after we say, like, we had to go around, which is, like, really brought up, like, a lot of, like, like, school trauma for me. We had to, like, go around, like, with a microphone and, like, say our first name, first and last name, and what we do, and who's in our household, how many kids do we have, do we're married, like, all that stuff. And I was like, well, I'm, you know, 35 years old and I live alone, because a few hours ago, no, I just was like, yeah, I live alone. And I'm a hairstylist, and, yeah, that's, like, pretty much all I had to say. And I was like, I don't have children. And so they already, like, know that little bit about you, right? And I think they know more about you. I don't know how, but, like, it just, I don't know. It felt really personal. And so I got asked, like, a few direct questions. And I, one of them was, how do you know if your clients are lying to you? Because I was like, oh, I, you know, I'm a hairstylist. I, like, work with people. And I was like, well, I don't. But people are more likely to tell me the truth than, like, their therapist or someone that has, like, an opinion or you know, something to gain from them. And I was like, I don't gain anything from them telling their stories, right? So they're more likely to tell me the truth. And then I got asked a question that I didn't understand, like, at all. I don't know if it was because I was tired or I had just been through, like, the ringer the day before. But I was like, I don't understand the question. Can you paraphrase it? Which she did. And then I was like, I still don't understand the question. So I'm not going to answer it. And so she moved on and asked someone else that question. But I know a lot of people gave, like, really good answers and, like, really, like, educated, long answers, and they didn't get picked, which is interesting. And I was like, huh. I was like, I wonder why. But I think it's because I think they might have sound too eager to be there, which they don't want. And I think me, like, being honest and being like, I don't understand the question, so I don't feel comfortable answering it, was actually a really great answer. So, I was, very surprised when they were like, we're going to call out the 13 people, and if I call out your name, plan to be here tomorrow at, like, in your seat at 8:30 for the next, I think they said, 7 days. And I was like, okay. Mind you, that the defendant is sitting there watching this whole thing. And they don't really tell you much detail, obviously, until they get to the opening statements that, like, yeah, they said second degree murder, but, like, they're not saying anything. And so I am seeing what looks to me like a 16-year-old kid. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, the way to pull all my heartstrings is a kid. And so, yeah, I didn't know really anything until, so we went to, like, recess or something, and then we came back, and they did opening statements, and I don't want to get into, like, too much detail because it's, you know, I don't know, it is what it is. But long story short, this kid kills his best friend and runs him over with a car, right, that they're both living in. So they're not, I mean, they're 21, so they're kids. And we kind of had to, like, figure out if he did this on purpose or not. So again, long story short, we went through a whole trial, and it was just really, like, prosecution. Like, the defense didn't say anything. They didn't bring up any witnesses. And, you know, the whole time I'm like, I took 40 pages of notes. Like, I was in this. Like, my life just went to shit, but you know, I was like, this kid deserves my attention. You know, you can't talk about it with anybody, even your fellow jury people. So you're, like, thinking about all these things, right, in that time. And we get to the deliberation room. And this is where, because this is, like, what I want to talk about, right? I was very surprised at what I felt and saw while we deliberated. I think there was one other person that was younger than me. I think she was like 22. And everyone else was, you know, I want to say in their like 40s, 50s. Maybe there was like a few people that were like in their 60s. And there was kind of like a few people that were all the way to one side. And then there was people in the middle. And then there was me. So I felt, well, actually, I don't even want to say there was a lot of people in the middle. There was people that were to one side, but that would actually listen to me. So I spent 2 days doing a few things, trying to, I guess not convince them, but like make them see my point of view. And to also listen to them. I mean, we went over literally every single piece of evidence. I tried to, so you're told like, you know, this person is innocent until proven guilty. And I don't think everyone does that. I think most people want to think that these, you're obviously on trial, like you're bad. So this whole like good and bad people thing, I think we would love to think that we don't do that, but I think the majority of you guys do. And it was lovely to like see myself not do that. Like I really, really try to not just think people are bad for things they've done or what they look like or what they've come from. And I think you can really learn a lot about yourself when you're in that situation, because there were people that were like automatically, this guy is a monster. He shouldn't see the light of day. I mean, the things that people said about, I was like, you don't even know this kid. Like, and there was nothing even really said about him in trial, except for the fact that they were living in this car. So they were obviously like lost in the world in some way, right? And me being like, you know, a very troubled teen, if that's what you want to call it, people just thought I was bad. And when that's put on you, that's like, I mean, either you're going to be like, fine, I am, I guess I am bad. Or you try to prove them wrong. And yeah, so anyways, there was a lot of that. And so I stood up for this kid every hour. I was like, he's not like innocent, right? Like he did do something. He did do it. I mean, you know, for sure. But I'm like, I can't say that it was on purpose. And every single thing that they brought to me that was them trying to prove that he did it on purpose, I could find a reason where it wasn't on purpose. So I just couldn't, I couldn't come to a guilty, charge, at least on that one. He had some other charges, but, for second degree murder, that is a very big deal. And, you know, I was noticing it wasn't brought up, but I was noticing that he was like having like autistic tics in the courtroom. And I was like, okay, well, obviously this kid can't even like process what's going on or emotions, at least in some way. And, so that was also in my brain. And yeah, so needless to say, he mistrialed, and because I just couldn't do it. And I had one other lady on my side, and we hugged at the end. And she said that if I wasn't there, she would have totally caved, because these people were, they were really, like, coming at me. And I was like, you know, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I'm going to be the asshole and keep you guys here, but I can't do that. I can't go to sleep at night knowing that I put a kid in prison for 50 years. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Regardless of making a mistake, right? I mean, we've all fucked up. I think about all the times that I, like, could have probably killed somebody, whether it being, like, not knowing how to control my emotions, or, like, when you were tipsy and you drank and you drove. Like, there's so many times where, in the eyes of other people, you are considered bad. And, so, anyways, they were going to retry him, and he ended up taking a plea deal. And instead of 45 years, I think it was like 16 to 22 was the range that they could give him. And I went to his sentencing, on my own volition, and, I sat behind this kid, and no one else was there for him. Like, no one else was sitting behind him. And, oh my God, it was so, that's when, like, cause I didn't cry, like, the whole trial, like, during it. Like, I cried when I got home. But I, like, broke down in the courtroom sitting behind him. And, that was the first time that the defense, like, opened up about his life, and knowing that his family has never wanted him. So he was probably autistic, and no one did anything or diagnosed him. And that he just didn't have any tools. He didn't know how to do, like, all these things, right? And, like, ugh, that will also pull at my heartstrings. But I also find it interesting that that was not used at all, like, in the trial. And specifically the relationship that I got out of, like, the week before, he always used that as a reason of why he was a piece of shit, because his upbringing. And, you know, I also had a shit upbringing. And so I'm like, I can't condone, like, using this as an excuse for your life. Like, you have a choice whether to be horrible or not. And every day he chose to be horrible. And, and this kid was on a fucking murder trial and didn't say that and didn't use it and didn't try to use it for people's emotions and swaying them one way or another. He just chose not to speak, which I'm like, God, that's, like, that's so admirable and crazy. And I think I just put that together, like, just as I'm talking about it. That's fucking wild. And I have more respect for that kid than I do that ex that I was with for almost 3 fucking years. I mean, that's, like, oh my God, that's wild. Anyways, so I, you know, I don't know. It was just weird timing. I think the universe was like, yo, we gotta show you some shit. We also have to, like, distract you. And so the fact that happened the day after, I was like, oh my God, I am, like, I'm on the right path. And, you know, I went home that night and I wrote him, He was still at Boulder County. And I wrote him this, like, oh God, I think it was like 3-page long letter. And so now we're pen pals, and it's like so sweet. And he's just a kid that fucked up, and, you know, because of me, he will have a life, and that's pretty cool. Because we all need empathy, and we all, like, I know how that feels to not have anyone on your side, and it just, like, really sucks, and I didn't want him to feel like that. So it's just very tender and sweet that we, like, I don't even want to call it a friendship. I don't even know it's a friendship. But I feel like I'm doing some good. I don't know. I have a lot of faith in this kid. So that's going to be cool to see what he does. But yeah, I've been binging Oz recently. If you haven't watched Oz, I highly suggest you do. It's like one of the best TV shows ever made on HBO. It's like in the maybe mid to late 90s when it started. And it's like 6 seasons, and you know, it really, like, it'll kind of test you to see what you think good and bad is, right? Because, like, every situation, it's like, oh, well, he's the bad guy. Oh, no, he's the bad guy. Oh, but he killed somebody because he thought he was doing good, right? It's kind of like, you know, everyone loved the show Dexter because he was a serial killer just killing bad people, right? But it's like, okay, who's to say who's bad? Right? The result's still the same. But we idolize people that kill for the greater good, I guess. But anyways, you can kind of see, like, you know, prison is, maximum prison is filled with, aka bad men, right? That have done really horrible things. And yet there's so much good in there. And just because, you know, either their background or their race or, you know, how they show up in the world, does that make them bad? So I don't know. It'll make you think, that's for sure. At least it should, if you're smart. And it should make you think, because I was just so surprised at people in that room that wanted to, like, put this kid away forever. And so, yeah, I'd love to think that there's more people, I don't want to say more people like me, but, I try to be very fair and take my emotions out of it and take what it looks like out of it, because I would want someone to do that for me. Because people on your trial don't know you, right? They don't know all these good things you do. They don't know the bad things, right? They're just seeing what's placed in front of them. And that can be good or bad. So, yeah. Well, I feel better. My makeup's also done, so that maybe that helps. But, yeah, just some things to think about. And that's kind of the update I have, is that I'm, like, so happy, you guys. I'm so lucky and happy, and I'm just so excited for this year. I'm, like, so excited. This year's gonna be so fucking cool. And yeah, I hope everyone else is doing good. And if you're not, I hate being that person, because it might not get better, but you know, doing little things can sometimes make it better. So, yeah. I have to hop on this Zoom call. I'll tell you my news at some point, when it's ready. But, yeah, I love all of you guys so much. And I will talk to you soon. Bye.